Well, in New York State, there's an empty seat that needs to be filled, an election that will be held to fill that seat vacated by the now infamous Anthony Weiner, who for sexual indiscretion was forced to stand down from his place in the New York legislature. Now, ordinarily, this probably wouldn't be anything more than just the story of the scandal and then move on and maybe note who's there. But maybe there's another reason to be watching this particular race in New York. Joining us to talk about the marriage issue and an election for the open congressional seat in New York State, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Why might this be an important race to watch?
Well, this is an interesting race because it is in a very, very safely Democratic district in New York State. And as you mentioned, it's a special election from the seat vacated by Anthony Weiner for his disgraceful conduct, and he has had to leave. And so the candidate who has been proposed by the Democrats for this slot, who really by all accounts should have been a shoo-in, this guy, when he was a state assembly person in New York State, he voted to redefine marriage, and he voted in favor of same-sex marriage, and he is self-described as an Orthodox Jew, which in New York is, you know, kind of important. There are a lot of Orthodox Jews. There are a lot of Jews of all varieties in New York State, but this particular guy claimed that voting for genderless marriage, redefined marriage, was somehow consistent with Orthodox Judaism. And a lot of our friends in the pro-marriage movement in upstate New York and throughout New York State, are, of course, taking issue with this claim. And people are making an issue out of the marriage issue in this particular election. So what should have been a shoo-in for the Democrat is turning into a very close race. As of yesterday, the Democrat was actually down by 6 points. And add to that, that an Orthodox rabbi in the vicinity recorded a phone call basically saying, this guy has turned his back on Orthodoxy and Orthodox Judaism, and so we turn our backs on him. Don't vote for this guy. I'm going to vote for the Republican candidate. So it's all in all a very unusual state of affairs, and I think marriage is becoming the crucial issue in this particular race. And so I think it's interesting, just looking across the country, we hear people saying, oh, marriage is such a divisive issue. The Republicans should stop talking about marriage. It's a losing issue. You're on the wrong side of history, yada, yada, yada. Well, this race seems to be showing that natural marriage, traditional marriage, is a winning issue, and that voting to redefine marriage is something that the voters may make you pay for. So that's the reason I think it's worth watching this particular race.
Well, speaking of the voters making lawmakers pay for it, everyone was going to have to wait until the New York legislature all ran again to see what the effect of voting to approve of same-sex marriage was going to be in New York State. Sounds like even though this is national office, this is perhaps a preview of what may be yet to come at the New York State level with the legislature and their bids for re-election.
Todd, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. A lot of times when the legislature will do something that is in favor of some aspect of the gay agenda or redefining marriage or something like that, either nobody knows about it, it kind of gets snuck by, or it takes place in such a way that you think, well, maybe people will forget about it by the time it's time to have an election. Well, this one is happening within a very short time frame, and people have not forgotten. And I think in general, people have pretty long memories about this topic because this is something the voters care about quite passionately. So I think you're quite right that what happens in this district is a foretaste of what may be happening in 2012 when many of those seats are going to be up for re-election in the state legislature. In New York State.
Add to that, there seems to be kind of a boldness here that this individual would try and thread the needle saying he's an Orthodox Jew and that there's no conflict there with his votes and his views on redefining marriage. I imagine there's probably an Orthodox rabbi on every street corner, at least in New York City, who would be willing to argue with him.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, as a Roman Catholic, I'm a Roman Catholic and you're a Lutheran. It's not for us to say what Orthodox Judaism is. You know, it's up to them to say that. But the other point is that there are varieties of Judaism. Of course, there are a great many Jewish people who are more or less secular Jews. There's Reform Judaism. There is what you might call cultural Judaism. There's conservative Judaism. All of those varieties of Jewish identity and Jewish belief have room for redefining marriage. It's just the Orthodox who are absolutely adamant that that marriage be what the Bible says it is: one man, one woman. You cling to your mother. You leave your mother and father and cling to your wife. You know, Genesis, the first book of the Bible. That's what the Orthodox rabbis would teach. So, if the guy had just said, "Hey, I'm Jewish and this is cool with me and it's cool with Judaism," I don't think it would have created a ripple. But for him to say, "I'm an Orthodox Jew," there are a lot of Orthodox Jews who are going to take serious exception to that. That's why they're Orthodox rather than some other variety of Jew. So, or not why they are, but it's certainly something that's important to them. So, yeah, I think the word we're looking for here is chutzpah. I mean, this took a lot of guts for him to come out and say a thing like that. And it, as you say, it's so easily refuted. I don't quite understand why he made this type of a statement. But the really interesting thing from a national point of view is just what this is going to mean for how political people see the issue of marriage, and whether they see that marriage is a winning issue, or whether they try to talk their way out of it or tap dance their way out of it. The fact is, I think, based on everything that I've seen, marriage actually is a winning issue, and just like pro-life has become a winning issue, and the Republicans who are running away from those issues are simply people who, for whatever reason, don't want to talk about it. It's not a political calculation that says, "Oh, it's going to be better for us if we ignore marriage." No, politically speaking, you're better off if you take the side of natural marriage, if you take the side of life. That's what the polls are now showing. That's how voters are behaving. And so I think far from us being on the wrong side of history, we're very much on the right side of history in these issues.
Finally then, Jen, if the Republican wins, do you think that the press is going to attribute at least part of the victory to the issue of marriage?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the press does about it at all, whether they even say anything about it. But, I saw yesterday in the Washington Post, which is not exactly a conservative type of publication, in the Washington Post already, Democrats are blaming the marriage issue for the loss of a seat that really should have been a shoe-in for them. So, they may not talk about it openly or loudly, but I don't think it's going to go away. And I think that in the back rooms, they're going to have to be looking at this and seeing that some kind of handwriting is on the wall, and the question is, how are they going to interpret that handwriting?
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You'll find a link to the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.